Ohio.
Ohio.
Is this working? Okay, we're on. Good morning. Good to be here again. Boy, it's a privilege to be invited back again. Thank you so much. I'm kind of hoarse from speaking in Sunday school this morning. I got really excited about Japan again, as usual. But we'd like to take you to Japan by way of DVD. We have a five or six minute DVD. It's our whole life. 40 some years of missionary in 5-6 minutes. And so, okay, can you all see that? Okay, good. Psalm 117, consisting of only two powerful verses, is the very middle chapter in the Word of God. He is for all nations, for all peoples. His love is great toward us. His faithfulness endures forever.
Over 50 years ago, the Lord put a love for Japan into our hearts. It all began in 1969, and all these years, the faithfulness of our Lord has been evident.
In 2013, we found ourselves saying our final goodbyes. Our hearts were full of emotion, words not always adequate, tears evident, and praise continual. What a great privilege to be Jesus to the Japanese.
The contrast from west to east is never forgotten. Unique traditions, the marvelous modernization, a language most difficult to speak, and worse yet, its writing, mysterious, complex, along with being resistant to the message of Jesus, our lives have been enriched.
The landmass, though limited, 127 million citizens living in relative harmony. Factories and farms take advantage of all space, as 80% of Japan is mountainous. Bullet trains traveling at high speed connect main cities from north to south. Modern road systems seem never enough for all the needs. Keep the nation running in timely fashion.
Rivers, inland sea, well-manicured gardens keep the Japanese in touch with nature. Indigenous religion of Shinto views all of nature sacred. The most advanced nation in Asia, she has both economic power and natural beauty. Her population, half that of the United States, is on the decrease, with fewer babies being born each year.
Japan has overwhelming challenges in natural and man-made disaster. Erupting volcanoes, sudden devastating earthquakes, keep the Japanese on edge. What is coming next? The earthquake of 2011 was devastating, even to our home some 250 miles south of the epicenter. Long lines outside stores found families struggling with supply and demand. Keeping the Japanese emotional and spiritual needs in the forefront of our minds, we opened up our church right after the earthquake for spiritual counseling, keeping comforting music playing for hours.
Called back after our retirement, we left without full support, and our entire outfit consisted of 5 suitcases. We lived in homes of missionaries on home assignment, so clothing and books were all we really needed. The Sengendai Christ Church, just outside Tokyo, had neither pastor nor permanent home. During our 5 years, the body of believers gave financial support. Ending result, they learned how to support a pastor.
As God opened doors, gathering of all kinds, summer camps for young children, baby English, Bible studies, caring for the poor in our community of believers, evening English worship services, black gospel choir, friends club, regular prayer meetings, English classes, and worship kept us busy all the time.
A brand new initiative came in the form of Church Cafe and Gallery. our four-story building housed ourselves, pastor, on the fourth floor, a sewing academy on the third floor owned and run by one of our believers. The second floor is our sanctuary, with the first floor becoming the Sharon Rose Cafe and Gallery. Over 2,000 customers were served coffees, teas, cakes, cookies, and delicious lunch menu. Though the cafe became too burdensome for the church to carry, along with its large loan repayment, the fact that we had spearheaded this new and vital avenue of ministry was a thrill of a lifetime.
Saying goodbye was painful, but the fact that Mr. Hidekazu Ishii came to be pastor, we found ourselves both singing and weeping.
His love was great toward us, and his faithfulness sustained us. All praise be to our wonderful Lord.
How could it be possible that God could use two people like Richard and I? We look at Micah 8:6 and it says, "This is what the Lord demands of you, that you do what is right, that you show mercy, and that you walk humbly before your God." How are we going to reach the Japanese with Jesus? Less than 1% knows of Christ as their personal Savior. Hundreds of years the gospel has been preached. A.B. Simpson went himself and said, "This is a land that will soon turn to Christ." Who do you spearhead? What a joy it was to minister to children. Two little boys came to our Sunday school every single Sunday. No church background. In fact, their mother was so afraid to have them come that she came every time too. So she's hearing the word, and they're hearing the word. They started to change, and we thought, how can we meet the needs better, Lord? And so we got a little Bible study that the children would take home during the week. They'd read the Bible, answer questions, come back, and we would survey what they had discovered. And then one day, the older of the two brothers seemed to understand sin. We talked to him, looking at his mother at the same time. "You've got to be careful." We said, "Is it okay if he accepts Jesus Christ?" And she said, "Yes." Sometimes yes can even mean no, but I took it to mean yes. What a joy to see this little boy come to Christ. The two brothers participated in Christmas plays. They came to everything we had at church, and we were so excited because, you see, the famous evangelist in Japan, Hattori, had found Christ from a non-Christian family, attended Sunday school, and he became famous in Japan like Billy Graham, going from one end of the country to the other, preaching Jesus. Could this young boy possibly become an evangelist? Then the day came. We got the word. The little boys aren't coming to Sunday school anymore. Our hearts were saddened. We wondered why. We could imagine why. They're getting up near junior high now, and they would get real busy. And maybe the daddy said, "Enough is enough." We know not. But we did what was right. We taught. We showed mercy and kindness. And we were trying to walk humbly before our God. And so even though this story doesn't end as we would wish, it's reality. It's reality of mission. But God doesn't go and say, "Go and win the world to Christ." That's what he means. But he says, "This is the mandate. Do what is right. Show mercy. Walk humbly. and he's the one who does the work. Thank you so much for praying for us down through the years. Your gifts have clothed us, fed us, and kept the electricity on, and we praise you for all the sacrifice. It's with grateful hearts that we share with you this morning. Thank you so much.
Oh, no comment here. Thank you for inviting us once again. It's always a privilege to be invited for a second time, and we enjoyed our first time so much, and we've been enjoying our second time even more. And I just want to just follow up what Janice has said and what the pastor has mentioned. And we were recipients of God's people, you folks, your gifts. And because of that, as Janice said, our children were able to eat, we were able to eat, we were able to buy shoes for our kids as well as ourselves. And so thank you again so much. We really appreciate it. And I just don't forget, the Great Commission Fund is great. For the last 5 years in our time in Japan, we were not under the Great Commission Fund, but God was still faithful. But the Great Commission Fund is the bread and butter of the Christian Missionary Alliance. So thank you for giving to the Lord. The God of the Bible is a God of all peoples. He loves all peoples of the world. And I'm excited about seeing these flags and all the flags you have out there. And as you came to the church yesterday, something's going on here. What's going on with this church? Must be missionaries coming. Oh, good. Okay, I want to hear them. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 is some great verses. I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. So right from the beginning, right in Genesis, the God of the Bible is a God for all peoples. I don't know how many times we've said that to Japanese people. He not only loves us Westerners, but he loves you. He loves all peoples. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is a God of all peoples. But God called Janice and I to one country, one people, the people of Japan, the people of the rising sun. And as you could see on our film, our DVD this morning, it's a modern country. It's a prosperous country. And it is the richest, the most prosperous country in all of Asia. It's an expensive country. I don't have the latest figures, but I know gasoline. Gasoline, by the way, that's a kind of a thing to talk about, isn't it? Gasoline has gone up. But at one time in Japan, as I remember, it was $6 a gallon. For I don't know what it is today. Probably, I hope they haven't had what we've had here. But it's an expensive country. It's a prosperous country. It's a crowded country. And I've illustrated this before. But, you know, we know what crowds are about. We live in a little town called Columbus, North Carolina. If you don't know where it is, don't worry about that. It's hardly anybody ever does in any church. Even the natives don't know where it is exactly. But Janice and I know what crowds are about, especially on a morning, early morning, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, waiting at the station for a train to come in. And all the people, it's crowded, but it's quiet. And they're lining up, waiting for the train to come in. And by the way, the trains are always on time, without a doubt. 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 8 o'clock, it's right there. Not a second, well, a second maybe a little bit, but to the minute. The train comes in, and then the people are quiet, nice, very, very polite. And then the doors open, and then the politeness, something happens there. And just rush in, and everybody's pushed in. And then, you know, you're crowded, and knocked this way and that way, and it's kind of scary sometimes because, you know, people are right next to you, and somebody said garlic for breakfast, and it's pretty bad. And then the pushers come. They get their we call them the pushers. They get their white gloves, and they push everything into the train that's sticking out. You know, no umbrellas, purses, or anything. Just get it in there, and the train the door closes and it goes on. You say, well, why don't you wait for the next one? Well, it'd be just as crowded or worse. So that's Japan. But in our time this morning, I just want to emphasize something that you might not be aware of. I talked a little bit about this in our Sunday school time, about when did Christianity first come to Japan? Well, it first came rather early. It came in 1549. And it was brought in, of course, primarily by the Catholic priests from Spain and Portugal. And what happened was, amazingly enough, Christianity in its Catholic format began to grow. And at one time, very early, it had over 300,000 believers in the capital city of Kyoto. 300,000. And it started to grow. And the influence of the church was growing. And what happened was the leader of the country, who was the shogun, you bet that name is familiar, maybe the shogun, he said, wait a minute. If all these people get together, all these Christians get together, and then with the influence of Portugal and Spain, I am going to lose the control of my people. I am going to lose my authority and my power. And therefore, in 1614, remember, it came into 1549, in 1614, an edict was signed to eradicate Christianity from Japan, an official document. And not only was it, you know, okay, we can't have Christianity anymore, stop it, please. No, there was intense and horrible persecution. Makoto Fujimura, in his book Silence and Beauty, said this: the depth of cruelty, and he uses this funny, this very, very sophisticated term, the refined design of torture techniques and prolonged suffering of the faithful rival anything in history, including the early church. The refined techniques of torture. And I can't go into all the torture techniques because it would not be appropriate for us this morning. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Silence. Nobody? Nobody. Okay. Well, on that, it was a movie. It's obviously, it's not very popular, but it's about Japan and the persecution. The refined techniques of torture. There's one story that this is not a fictitious little nice illustration to make my message seem a little bit more interesting, but this is a true story. It's in history. It's called, and I think every Japanese knows about this historical story. It's called the 26 Martyrs of Nagasaki. The government rounded up 26 believers, Christians, in the city of Kyoto. Most of them were Catholic priests because they figured they're the ones we really want to see deny the faith or recant or apostatize, because if they do it, the others will follow. Ordinary Christians probably will produce more Christians, but if we get the priests, so most of those who went to Nagasaki were priests, there were some laymen, and there were some children. And they marched them from Kyoto. There's a map here. From Kyoto down to the city of Nagasaki, which is Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And it was over 400 miles. And while they walked them, they humiliated them, they cut them, they hurt them, to make sure that the people would know that this is what will happen to you if you become a Christian. And he got to the city of Nagasaki, the 26 martyrs and their persecutors, and there were all 26 crosses lined up for their crucifixion. And if you went to Nagasaki today, you could see the memorial that they've set up with these crosses. I don't know if they're the same crosses, but they have a memorial and a monument to that, to this particular historical thing. 26 crosses already. And there was one boy, I don't know how old he was, he went up to his persecutors, and he said, "Show me my cross. Which one is mine? Show me my cross." And I thought about that. And really, that's what Janice and I went to Japan for, isn't it? To show people the Lord Jesus Christ. To show people the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. To tell people that he's not just a one who died on a cross, but he one who also has been raised from the dead and is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Show me my cross. Janice and I were assigned to the city of Hiroshima to reach the Japanese people for Christ. That's where the Christian Missionary Alliance Center of ministry has been over the years, in the city of Hiroshima. Now the mission is more located in Tokyo area. Our headquarters are in Greater Tokyo area. But we went to Hiroshima, and we started a ministry. Now, how are we going to reach the people? Children, the adults, the elderly people, the young people. And we opened up what we called the Alliance Shalom Center. The Alliance Shalom Center. Now, you know the word shalom, of course, is the Hebrew word for peace. And, of course, the Japanese had no idea what shalom was. But we were able to explain to them, this is our purpose in coming to your city, to show you the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through a variety of ministries, which you were able to see, children's ministries, adult ministries, one of our large ministries was English conversation classes. Now, that's maybe, I know a lot of missionaries do that, but in Japan, students from junior high, high school, university, learn English, how to read, how to write, and they can read just about anything. But they can't speak. So we emphasized English conversation classes. And always, not only the conversation classes, but a time, maybe 15, 20 minutes of the Gospel of Mark, Gospel portion, and made it very clear to them before they entered the class that we would be having a short time of Bible study. And we started advertising everywhere. The station put advertisement in buses, went on a street and handed out, you know, here we are, foreigners in your country. English, real foreigners are here to speak English. Come. And we said, oh, we'll be crowded out the first day. So we waited. We had an opening day, you know. They'll be coming soon. And we ended up at first, the first day, about 6 or 7 students. That was it. But a long story short, gradually over the time, weeks, months, things began to grow. Praise God. Everything, it seems like everything starts out small in Japan. Japan is a small country. Everything is small. We come, you know, you order a drink, you know, we come back to America, we'd like the small Coke. You know, you get one about this big, you know. And in Japan, we had a small Coke. You got a small Coke, you know. Into our Bible class, into our English class, in English conversation, came a man by the name of Mr. Fuji. Now, Mr. Fuji was a businessman, had absolutely no background. He knew nothing about the gospel. He knew nothing. And he was the sharpest dressed. He always dressed sharp, you know. He had a suit or really looked nice. In fact, he looked at me sometime, kind of looked me over, and I got nervous, you know. I wasn't dressed for him. In fact, one day he was he missed the crop. He said, I don't know how he said it. He said it politely. The Japanese are always polite. I want to get you a suit. And he did. He took me to a suit. That's in Japan. You're going to buy a missionary a suit. And that's opposite in most countries, right? He bought me a suit with my name in it, crop, you know, right in there. And he said, oh, okay, now you look okay. Well, he didn't quite say it that way, but he was pleased. I was pleased. Anyway, he studied English. He came every week. And he started, we opened the Bible to the Gospel of Mark and went very carefully, slowly, diligently through the Gospel of Mark, making, you know, talking about Jesus, talking about his love. And that's where we don't start out with, you know, like maybe the resurrection, which, of course, we believe in the resurrection, but we start out things that they can identify with, compassion, love, touching the leper, that kind of thing. And he began to, every week, he began to study. And he was faithful, and he got much better in English as well. One Saturday night, We had back in those days, a few years ago, a number of years ago, we had movies, evangelistic movies. And he came with other people, of course, and after the film, it seemed like it was a gospel presentation, a very clear gospel presentation. And he sat there, and he didn't say anything, or he didn't go anywhere, he just sat there. And I went up to him and I said, Mr. Fuji, I just felt in my spirit that it was the right time. You know, you have to be careful. You have to be asked the Lord. It's just the right time. You know, you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when you're witnessing to people. And I said, would you like to accept Jesus tonight? And he said, no. Okay. Again, without appearing pushy, and maybe I did, but I tried to be sensitive to his spirit. I said, Mr. Fuji, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And he said, okay. And he did. And he accepted Jesus Christ into his heart. Now, he didn't understand everything. Who of us, none of us do when we first accept Jesus, right? But he was sincere, and he continued to come to English class. The Bible study became a kind of a discipling time for him. He wanted to be identified with Christ in baptism. And by the way, baptism is so important in Japan because you are making a public decision that I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. You're making that, you're telling people, you're telling your family, you're telling your friends, I'm making a public decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I follow him wherever he takes me. And he did. And then, of course, we began to pray for his wife. His wife didn't like English, but she liked ping pong. And she, every Sunday, hey, did you bring your wife? I mean, how did we ask? Very nice, politely, of course. You know, we don't see your wife today. I don't know how we said it in Japanese. Iroshaimasenka. Oh, no, she's playing ping pong today. She couldn't come to church. And we prayed for Mrs. Fuji at every prayer meeting. We continue to pray for Mr. Fuji that he would grow in grace and in the power of God. And then one day we had to go home on furlough, on home assignment. And we did. We still kept in contact with him, but we found out, to make a longer story short here, eventually Mrs. Fuji, his wife, came to know, we heard when we were in the States, that she made a decision for Jesus Christ, and she became the church. She played the organ, or there was an organ, a piano. It's an organ for the Lord Jesus Christ. And both of them came, a couple. Praise God. You know, that's the most exciting part of any of our missionary work. We do a lot of things, write letters, teach English classes. Janice had cooking classes. We had, as you saw, we had things for camps in the summer for kids, all kinds of ministries. But when we see people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they see Jesus, they see the cross, show me the cross, and they see it, and their lives are changed. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are new. That's my life verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, everything is new. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And I know denying ourselves, I've wrestled with that phrase for a long time. And I've been in the Alliance long enough to have many messages, many good messages on that topic from fantastic preachers and missionaries whom I've heard speak. But I found a neat definition the other day as I was reading a book by a theologian. He said, to deny oneself is to turn away from the idolatry of self-centeredness. I thought that was really good. It's idolatry, really. Idolatry, God hates idolatry, right? To turn away from the idolatry of self-centeredness. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Is that your desire this morning? Mabel Francis is a missionary that we talked about this morning a little bit and last evening in our time with the good people here. Mabel Francis, of course, was a missionary in Japan for over 50 years. Little lady about this high. We were able to meet her our first term, almost our first day, our first week in Japan. We met Mabel Francis. Wow. And she was in Hiroshima. She was lecturing. I looked at her schedule. She was 80-some years old. She came back for a little, it wasn't a vacation, just to see Japan again, to see her people again. I looked at her schedule. It made me tired, and I was only like my late 20s, early 30s. And she was there. And she, you know that she did not leave Japan, but she was asked, she was told, she had to leave because the war is on. You're going to be an enemy. And she said, no. She said no to our leaders in headquarters. I'm staying. And she stayed. And she was able to minister to the Japanese at their most difficult and their darkest hour through compassion, through love, through the Spirit of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. And she got one of probably the highest medal that any foreigner can get from the emperor himself. But Mabel Francis had a simple prayer. Simple prayer. Lord, I want your will for my life. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. I wonder, is that your prayer this morning? Lord Jesus, I want your will for my life. Wherever you may take me, across the street, down the street, wherever, to that person next door who needs a touch, who needs a word of encouragement, a word of love. It's not just doesn't mean just getting on a ship or plane. They don't go by ships anymore, by plane, going to Japan or Africa or Spain. Maybe God will call some to do that. We see young people here today. Maybe God's speaking to your heart. Maybe he wants you to serve him in somewhere. But for those of us who can't go, we can go down the street. We can go next door. Lord Jesus, I want your will for my life. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Is that your prayer this morning? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are just so thankful for that you've given us the privilege of serving you in just one country. And we're so thankful that you have called us there, that you are a God who loves all peoples. You are a God who loves all nations. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for dear friends who are here this morning, our brothers and sisters. We're thankful for each one. We're thankful for the pastor and for his ministry here and for leadership and music and different areas of concern and ministry in this church. Bless this church, Lord. Continue to use it for your honor and for your glory. And Lord Jesus, may we go away this morning saying in our hearts, Lord Jesus, I want nothing else but your will for my life. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. Sing the song together. Here we go.
Just one king and just one crown could rule and reign here till the darkness has bowed down. So hear your people. Gladly made.
what I'd like us to do. We have a couple minutes before GCCBF comes up and joins us for our communion time. So what I'd like us to do is, would you just turn to the person next to you? And I'd like you to pray for each other. Pray that God would bless you with an open heart, that God would bless you with the God's will, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. And you can sit down if you do this. But let's just take some time and really pray for each other, that this understanding would come into our hearts. So pray for each other. Pray a blessing of God's provision, God's grace, and God's will. And then we'll sing the song together, and that will introduce us then into our communion. So let's pray.
Our missionary speaker this morning was talking about compassion.
Is the black mic needs to be on, Justin? It's on. Go ahead, Yua.
No. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead. It's on, Yua. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh. 今天我们的这个传教士谈的主要的题目是怜悯，是。
He said that it was compassion that began their ministry there in Japan.
是他们心里对那里日本人民的这个怜悯的心肠开始了他们在那里的施工。
And he talked about how it was compassion that led the well-known Japanese missionary Mabel Francis to minister to the Japanese people.
是他这个怜悯的心肠使
Mabel Francis
is a person?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Because I didn't hear that. 开始了他们在那边的各样的施工. Yeah.
It's all about compassion.
都是重要的就是因为我们的主有怜悯的心肠.
In the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we read this.
马太福音的第九章这样说道.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them.
耶稣看到众人就怜悯他们。
Because they were helpless.
因为他们很无助。
Like sheep without a shepherd.
就像羊没有牧人。
Then he said to his disciples,
然后他对他的门徒说,
The harvest is plentiful.
要收的庄稼熟了。
But the workers are few.
做工的人少。
Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore,
请求你们的主。
To send out workers into his harvest field.
打发他的工人到庄稼地里去做工。
It was compassion that led Jesus to call us to take the gospel to everyone.
是基督怜悯的心肠，引导我们把福音传给众人。
But after Jesus called us, he proved his compassion by laying down his life for the world.
耶稣基督，放弃了他的生命，死在十字架上，就向我们显明他对我们人的怜悯。
Jesus gave his life for you.
耶稣为你而死。
Jesus gave his life for me.
耶稣也为我而死。
If you know him today,
如果你认识他
as your Savior and your Lord,
如果你认他做你的救主和你生命的主
we invite you to take part in this very special supper.
我们就请你来一同来参与到这个特别特殊的这样的一个仪式
By coming and taking the elements,
我们来一同来领主的饼和杯
You are saying, I know Jesus died for me.
你是在宣称，你在向众人宣告，我知道基督为我而死。
I have received his life.
我已经接受了他的生命。
And now I give my life to him.
现在我要把我的生命也献给他。
If that is your testimony,
如果这是你的故事的话，
We invite you to come and receive the bread and the cup today.
我们邀请你一同上来与我们领主的饼和杯。
As you come today, there are elders in the back, and they will release you row by row.
那我们等会儿上来的时候，是我们一排一排的按着这个顺序来一同来领这个饼和杯。
Beginning in the back, we invite you to come forward and receive the bread and cup.
是从最后一排开始。
And then return to your seat.
然后再回到你的座位上。
And after everyone has been served,
等大家都一同领了饼和杯之后呢
，then we will eat together.
然后我们一起来，领喝这个饼，吃这个杯。
But now would you bow with me in prayer?